Welcome to Just Ask, the podcast of the Hive Collective, a digital health platform built to empower women to make educated and informed decisions about their health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heather Quayle, a leading women's and gender-related nurse practitioner. We provide answers to the questions you may not know how to ask by interviewing experts in nursing, medicine, sexual health, and wellness. We started in 2020 with myself and colleague Dr. Tara Thompson, pharmacist, and now welcome our co-host and leading women's health expert and nurse practitioner, Jackie Piasta. This is a safe space where no question is off limits, and we advocate and encourage listeners to just ask their most intimate questions and to break down the barriers of embarrassment and taboo.
I'm Jackie Piasta, your other co-host and fellow Queen Bee of the Hive. Each month, we bring on a new guest that is an expert and healthcare innovator in their respective field. As the healthcare landscape rapidly evolves, we are excited to be on the cutting edge and have decided to evolve the podcast into the Hive Collective, a space that seeks to equip you to better navigate your health journey. To learn more about our new and exciting platform, check out our mission, vision, values, and initiatives as we discuss our rebrand in Season 4, Episode 1. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're excited you're here and hope you enjoy our show.
Welcome to Just Ask. We're so excited that you're here. I'm really excited to introduce our guest, Ms. Christine Garvin. She is absolutely amazing. She is going to talk today about all things functional health, a lot of stuff we really haven't talked about. We're trying to delve into new waters on our podcast. But Christine Garvin is a functional health coach based in Asheville, North Carolina. Oh, the beautiful mountains. Love it, love it, love it out there. And she really weaves together her personal health journey, which included a fibroid surgery that nearly killed her, with training in the world of functional health, nutrition, and hormones. And it really is to kind of help women heal their gut and achieve hormonal balance. She is the host of the podcast, Hormonally Speaking, and Tara has met her through the podcast, as have I. So she is a wonderful resource for all those things. And she will share her podcast and how you all can listen to that as well. But she works with clients all over the world via Zoom. And she offers group programs for gut healing and hormone health. And I'm going to let her towards the end of our program give you her website and how to find her on Instagram and all those wonderful things. So without further ado, welcome, Christine. We're so excited to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. And it's fun to reunite after having each of you on my podcast. So this is super fun to do this like three person
thing. The other end of it. Awesome. So I think the best place to kind of start with this is kind of tell us about your journey. I always want people to kind of dive in and like, I always want to know everyone's why. It's always how I start everything. So kind of what brought you into this and tell us, please.
So, you know, things kind of started for me a little young, I guess, in terms of health, a health crisis that I experienced in my early 20s. And I won't go into that whole long sorted story, but it, you know, basically occurred after I graduated from college. And I always say that it was like my stomach fell out. And it took me years to figure out exactly why that happened and what was going on. But one of the things that happened pretty quickly on that journey was recognizing, you know, when I went to a traditional doctor, that they just kind of, you know, said I had IBS. And, you know, kind of good luck. And so that really, you know, I hadn't done anything in sort of alternative health or functional health or knew anything about it then. You know, I was kind of your standard American diet girl, just living, you know, the college lifestyle. And so that really put me on a path of understanding that my gut had gotten really decimated by three rounds of antibiotics very close together for strep throat in college, not to mention, you know, all the drinking and other things that I was doing at the time. And nobody had any idea about beneficial bacteria or probiotics at that point. You know, nobody was talking about you got to replenish after you do antibiotics. And so it was kind of a perfect storm of that. And then the stress of life and figuring out what I was doing with my life that coincided. And so it really started me on this journey, and I ended up doing my master's in holistic health education because I, you know, went that deep as I started to really dive in. I also ended up doing a nutrition education program that was, you know, holistic nutrition based because, as you guys know, food is medicine, right? Mm-hmm. At like the basic foundation of our health is we need to feed our bodies good food that has nutrients that every organ uses, our hormones use, our gut uses, you know, in order to keep us going, keep us here. And hopefully not just keep us going, but keep us feeling better. So I spent a lot of years kind of healing my gut, you know, doing the deep dive around that. And then I was doing, things were pretty good. I was a dance instructor and performer after moving to Asheville. And so that was my main focus, although I still was always, you know, studying health stuff on the side, really trying to keep up with what was coming up in the functional world. But then at age 38, I found out I had a very large fibroid. And this was kind of out of the blue because, you know, I was lucky enough to have a really good menstrual cycle. You know, I was on my 28, 29 days every month. Bleeding was, you know, pretty normalized. I'd gotten to the point where I had horrible cramps when I was younger, just, you know, like vomiting, had to leave school, all those kinds of things. And it worked to a place where I was really not even experiencing hardly any cramps. And then all of a sudden I started bleeding more profusely. My period ended up being like 5 days early one month. And then the next month, 5 days earlier than that, I started noticing that I was going through, you know, like a diva cup in a couple of hours. This was really hard as a dance instructor, you know, because yes. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to bleed out while I'm teaching class. And I just kind of figured it was early perimenopause. You know, I kind of knew a little bit about that. And then one day I couldn't fit a diva cup in properly. And that's when I, you know, kind of figured something was going on, and I kind of dug around and felt something inside my vagina that hadn't been there before.
For you being a sexual medicine provider, I have to say thank you for looking around. Like, most people won't even touch their female parts.
Yeah.
And that terrifies them. So yay that you felt comfortable.
Yeah. And a lot of people ask me how I figured out that I had a fibroid. And, you know, I tell them that because I encourage, like, I mean, even it was funny when I first went to the doctor and she was, before they gave me an ultrasound, she was just kind of feeling around. She was like, oh, I think that's your cervix. And I was like, I know it's not my cervix because I have explored enough to know the difference, mm-hmm. You know, and I encourage people to do that because you will be able to notice things sometimes way before
feel off. Absolutely.
Exactly. Before a doctor will. And you know, we don't do ultrasounds like continuously, you know, or I mean, really ultrasounds tend to just happen when we think something's going on or you're getting ready to have a baby, you know? So, I finally got the ultrasound. They figured out it was about a 6 centimeter fibroid at that point. And you know, I went home, just did all the research that I could about trying to shrink this fibroid, get rid of it. I learned pretty quickly that's not easy to do once they're a certain size. And so I opted to do surgery. I had a myomectomy, which is when they just go in and remove the fibroid or fibroids and leave your uterus, because even though I was, you know, 38, 39 at that time, and I was encouraged to do a hysterectomy, I didn't want to do a hysterectomy because, you know, I believe if we can save our uterus, you know, even if you don't want kids, it's going to be overall good for your health. And so I had the myomectomy done. That was my first surgery. And pretty quickly, well, it's hard to say because I'd never had surgery before, but things felt a little off. And this is another thing I tell women all the time, don't push through. Like, we're so used to pushing through the pain.
We're stoic a lot of times, or we'll push through the pain and
100%, you know, this is what we do. And we're like, we feel bad. We feel like we're, it's just us and we're just, you know, not being strong enough, all of these things. And I did that exactly. I was like, oh, this is just taking me longer to bounce back. And, you know, every morning I would wake up feeling a little bit better, but then halfway through the day I wasn't. And at this point I actually could barely even like walk outside of my apartment. 2 weeks after this, I finally, knew that I had some sort of infection going on because I could tell just on my stomach, where they had cut in for the surgery. And I went to like an urgent care place, and he basically took a look at me and he said, you need to go to the ER, like stat. Mm-hmm. He could tell basically, you know, from my heart rate was super high. My resting heart rate was super high. And just the way I looked, he could tell I had sepsis. And I'm very grateful for him because, you know, he was basically like, do not pass go, like yes. straight to the ER. And I found out that, you know, I had sepsis. I was luckily not in septic shock yet. But, you know, it took them all day and lots of testing and CT scans and things to figure out that, you know, I had some kind of holes in my intestines that were dumping out stool and bacteria and all kinds of stuff into my abdominal cavity, which
nicked in surgery? Is that what they think?
So basically I ended up having to go into exploratory surgery that night. And yes, at that point they determined, although they can't say 100%, that there was a burn. There was three burns, actually, two on my colon, one on my small intestine. My OBGYN has the best hypothesis that I've heard, because we don't know for sure, but she thinks possibly the spark from the tool that they used to cut up the fibroid, that sparks flew, and that's what created it. And it was so small, and they wouldn't have seen it necessarily with the camera while they were in there during surgery. And it was such a small thing to start, but then over the 2 weeks, as I ate and, you know, gastric juices and everything went by, it's kind of like grinding against something on your skin. It's just going to get worse, right? And essentially it opened into these holes. So I ended up losing about 40% of my colon and about 8 inches of small intestine and my appendix and my ileocecal valve. And I ended up having a ileostomy, which is an ostomy that comes from your small intestine. And I ended up having that for about 6.5 months, and I had a womb vac, and I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks trying to recover. It was very intense, as you can imagine, life-changing. Ended my career as a dance instructor and performer, but really changed my life in terms of getting me really clear on coming back to health, you know? And so it took 6 months of having the ostomy, just getting my body, like even just gaining weight back to where I had been before. And then I had reversal surgery. I was very lucky to be able to have my ostomy reversed. That's not the case for everyone. But after that, I really sat back and I said, well, what kicked this whole thing off in the first place? It was this fibroid. Why did I have this fibroid? You know, so 80 to 90% of women is what it's estimated will have a fibroid by the time they're 50. So that's quite a few women, right? Yeah, they're even more prevalent in Black women, and they're not quite sure of why that is at this point. But it's to me, that's an epidemic, right? And it's just kind of like the only options right now are either estrogen blockers, because estrogen, you know, feeds fibroids, or getting surgery. And that just didn't cut it for me. So I really dove into training around hormones from a functional perspective, and then dove deep into, deeper into gut health. Obviously I had a lot of healing to do with my own gut, and, you know, learning how to use functional lab testing in order to see what's going on in a person's gut. Same thing with hormones and, you know, blood labs and all that. So here I am, you know, almost 3 years later, and, that's how I came to this work, and I love doing it,
which is awesome. And so let's dive a little bit into it. Always seems like everyone who goes the functional approach had a life-changing event that brought mm-hmm. them there. And I think it's a cross between, I'm not going to backlash on Western medicine because I think it has its place, but I think functional medicine has its place as well. And I think mm-hmm. like almost a combination of the two is so important, mm-hmm. but you talked a lot around just kind of healing the gut and fixing the gut. You're diving into just a lot of just women's health type of stuff, but things that we kind of put on the back burner are just our general health. And so I want to talk about this gut health and what this looks like and how people can start kind of going towards correcting some things. Cause I'm sure a lot of women even start off with having some of those issues that you men too, not mm-hmm. just women, but that you had in college and things of that nature. So when you see a patient that you think may have some gut issues, like where do they start?
Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, majority of people that come to me definitely have gut issues, even if they don't always realize it off the bat. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing to ask is, you know, tell me about your digestion. Tell me, you know, and they'll say, oh, you know, I think it's pretty good. It's fine. And then I'll say, well, how much gas and bloating do you have? And they're like, well, I mean, a normal amount. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about what a normal amount is, you know, just because it's common for, you know, people to have a lot of gas doesn't mean that that's normal. And so that is always an indication to me with gas and bloating. This is, you know, a super common thing, as, especially as we age, is our digestive function diminishes, right? So what I mean by that is, starting in your stomach, we produce hydrochloric acid and pepsin in order to break down food, right? It's our first thing that's really breaking down food in a big way. And it's also protecting us against bacteria and other pathogens that are coming in via food and drink and, you know, even the air, because that hydrochloric acid is going to, you know, basically kill those off. So it's a huge protector so that things don't go into the small intestine and be able to set up shop, but it's also breaking down your food to the best possible way, so that once it gets in the small intestine, we can easily absorb nutrients from it. So most of us have low HCl, and, you know, even people that have acid reflux, heartburn, GERD, those kinds of things, you know, from a traditional allopathic perspective, it's that they're producing too much hydrochloric acid, but from a functional perspective, we're actually looking at it being too low. And what happens when things are, when HCl is too low, you know, for a certain amount of time, is that it doesn't trigger the sphincter to open up to allow the food to go into your small intestine. So it sits in your stomach longer, starts to ferment, gases, you know, are created, things are pushed up back into your esophagus. So you're, this is where getting that food back up into your esophagus. And yes, it does have some acid in it. So of course it's causing pain and damage, but we actually need to get your HCl up. But first, in those cases, we have to work on healing your esophageal, that lining in your esophagus and also your stomach lining, and then slowly bring in HCl. So that's always something I start with people, you know, to see where they're at in terms of that. Zinc is a huge underlying thing for people with low HCl. So, you know, that's definitely worth doing some zinc tests. Very
easy.
I think
zinc is so underlooked at. It's funny. I've been saying it more and more to some people lately.
It's huge.
Having like things that aren't healing or they're not feeling great. And I've been reading more and more articles around it lately.
100%. And, you know, there is enough studies even around COVID, that, you know, it does have some protective effects. And so, a lot of people are definitely low in zinc. We're low in minerals on the whole. Mm-hmm. But yeah, zinc has such an important part, you know, so that's often what I'll bring in with people too. Digestive enzymes, because if your HCl isn't working properly, you're not triggering those enzymes from your pancreas to be released into your small intestine to further break down your food. So a lot of times we'll do, you know, HCl and digestive enzymes at the same time. So that's kind of looking at your upper digestion, right? I also look at like, how well are you digesting your fats? If you're not digesting your fats well, let's do some gallbladder support, because a lot of people need that too. And also liver at the same time, you know, liver and gallbladder work intimately together. And then going further down, let's look at what's happening in your colon in terms of beneficial bacteria, which most people are low on, because mm-hmm. most of us have had multiple rounds of antibiotics in our lifetime. Many women have been on birth control, and that impacts the beneficial bacteria also. Over-the-counter medications do. There's kind of no way to get around, you know, there not being some issues in terms of having that good bacteria, enough of that good bacteria to level out what else is in your system, you know, and our guts are really, I think about it as a garden, right? You don't want to get rid of all of the quote unquote bad bacteria. A lot of the bad bacteria is actually beneficial for us in lower levels, you know? So a lot of times these bacteria, it's about it being too high of levels. So we want to just bring those down, you know, so bring the weeds down a little bit. You don't want to get rid of the weeds 100%, but then you allow the flower into play. I might've lost. Okay. I was okay, like, no,
I think we lost you for a half a second. No,
okay.
But you're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
It got cut. So, but yeah, so really, you know, everything works together in our system, and we've just gotten off of that sort of inner knowing and inner working together because of, you know, facing so many toxins in our environment, facing so much stress in our lives. You know, really working on all these levels is so important when it comes to gut health.
Yeah. So important. And you've talked a little bit about just things like hormones and things, and I want to kind of dive into that a little bit more. We get a lot of questions, and I know Tara probably does too, just around hormone health and kind of where that fits in. And we've done I think we've done one podcast on hormone health, but just kind of how important is it? Where does it kind of play in on just your overall feeling and your gut and things in that nature?
Yeah. So, you know, hormones are, I mean, obviously, for everyone. But, you know, particularly like cycling women, I'll focus on in this moment. It really has a huge impact on everything, right? On our mood, on our, brain function, on how we feel day to day. And so, there's definitely so much going on hormonally for women because for a bunch of reasons, but we've gone so far off of sort of this basic foundations of taking care of ourselves. But, you know, when I dig in with clients, I always talk about gut health, liver health, and adrenal health as being the three biggest things to look at when you have hormonal imbalance, you know, and hormonal imbalance can even just be like cramps before your period, during your period. That is a sign right there. You know, that doesn't have to be. I know it feels like it does because so many women experience it, but it doesn't actually have to be. And so, you know, in terms of gut, one of the biggest ways that estrogen in particular, so we kind of talk about a lot about estrogen when we talk about hormones, right? Because it tends to kind of cause the biggest disturbances when it's too high. And also when it's not metabolizing correctly, or metabolizing beneficially, which I'll talk about when I talk about the liver. But there's this kind of third part of the detoxification of estrogen, which, you know, our hormones have to be detoxified just like anything else. And when it goes into your colon to be removed from your body after it's been detoxified by your liver, there's an enzyme called beta-glucuronidase that can actually what we call deconjugate. So basically, you know, the liver's gone through all this trouble to make the estrogen water soluble, so it's not harmful to you. But then it can basically be re-released in your colon, and that just goes right back into your system and has to be re-detoxified by your liver. And that beta-glucuronidase is very much connected to the beneficial bacteria and what we call the estrobilome, which is kind of the subset of your microbiome that focuses on estrogen detox. And, you know, one of the ways that I will see that somebody, you know, that's not kind of working at the place we want it to is on the GI map. There is a marker for beta glucuronidase. So we can see if that's high. And it's women and men and all people, really, it can get high, you know, and cause an issue. So we really want to make sure that you have good bacteria, enough of that good bacteria in your gut so that you're getting that estrogen out of your body. Particularly any women that have had, you know, history of breast cancer and other female cancers, we want to make sure that estrogen's getting out.
That can kind of play into the fibroid thing too, right?
100%.
It's all like connected in this big web of
absolutely
things, and sexual health is what we do here on the podcast and our listeners. With sexual dysfunctions and conditions, and the hormones have such a huge part in all of this, which is connected to gut health. So it's like you've got to get all your, and that's one of the things you do, Christine, as a as a functional health coach, which is why I can't wait for our listeners to come find you. But just getting all of your little baby steps in order that accumulate into a bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, really talking about sort of the sexual health and I would say, you know, the libido aspect of things, like looking at the adrenals, I think the adrenals are overlooked so much. And they are really kind of the thing that underlies your sex hormones, right? So we definitely will think a lot of times, okay, I don't have any sex drive, like my testosterone is low, you know, or estrogen is too high. This is another case of why you want that estrogen to get out of your body, because libido definitely tends to tank when estrogen is too high. And often progesterone is too low. But, you know, adrenal function, and this is what I always start, you know, if we do hormone testing with clients, I want to see how your adrenals are doing. Because what happens is your hypothalamus and pituitary glands in your brain oversees your entire endocrine system. And when you're under stress all the time, which, like, how many women do we know? I mean, everybody's
under stress.
Right? Not at all.
Women don't have pain. And,
right.
Yeah.
Not at all. So, you know, it's the biggest thing that I think people deal with actually is stress on a constant basis. And so women's bodies really were so susceptible to that stress throwing off our sex hormones, because that hypothalamus and pituitary glands are like, hey, we need to keep you alive. So adrenals, release the cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone that people are just like, oh, I don't want too much cortisol. We need cortisol, but we're getting too much. And that is causing, you know, all kinds of issues, and that can suppress your immune system over time. There's all kinds of other things that happen with that. But it also, basically, your hypothalamus and pituitary are like, you can't carry a baby right now when you're fighting for your life. So we're going to down-regulate the sex hormone production. And so, you know, you can't, I mean, you can go in and try and start to get those, you know, estrogen and progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, especially DHEA is very connected since that's also produced in our adrenals. But I find that if you go in and try and just work with those and you don't work on your adrenals, it's not going to stick.
I always say it's that adrenal thyroid hormone thing. It's like, if you don't fix the adrenals and the thyroids, nothing's going to work.
Exactly. 100%. You know, and I do find that when women in particular, cycling women, are able to start to really have that cortisol do what it's supposed to do, you know, so we are supposed to have it highest in the morning and then lowest in the evening. And a lot of times it'll be flipped. I'll see it all the time on tests. You know, it's like lowest in the morning and too high at night. But once you get that flipped around, even that in and of itself can change in terms of your sexual health. You know, that I think that libido goes up, you're just in a more responsive state. And then you can really start to look at these other things too, at getting that estrogen down. Estrogen dominance just causes so many issues, including fibroids. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, we kind of think of fibroids as being quote unquote fed by estrogen. Same thing with endometriosis, adenomyosis, you know, all of that has these estrogen receptors that just kind of like grow as the estrogen goes up throughout the month, you know? And so I love our hormones because it's such an orchestra, right? When you actually really learn how the hormones are supposed to work and like how FSH, which is follicle stimulating hormone, gets your estrogen up in the first half of your cycle. And that needs to be high enough and those need to drop before you ovulate and kick off, you know, your LH surge. And so ovulation happens. And so progesterone can be produced. Like if you're not ovulating, then you're not producing, I mean, you're producing a small amount maybe of progesterone, but very little progesterone and not enough of what you need. And so getting that orchestra working together is what we really, that's my goal with clients, right? So it's less about this one thing that we hit up, but like, how are we getting this whole thing done? And so really those adrenals, getting that gut health going, you know, another thing about gut health is it can impact the receptors on different cells throughout your body too for hormones. And so when we're getting into the gut issue is often what I start with people healing that up before we even deep dive into hormone stuff. Sometimes that clears up hormone stuff on its own. It's pretty amazing. Yep.
Are you a big supplement person, or how does that look for patients? Because I know a lot of them will say, well, I go to functional and they'll give me 5,000 supplements that I need to remember. Or how does that look?
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on the individual, but often people come to me in a pretty broken down state. Mm-hmm. And so we have to do stuff for a while. You know, the goal is to not keep you on a crazy amount of supplements for a long period of time. But, you know, really utilizing, like I utilize serum testing for looking at nutritional deficiencies. So it can tell us a lot before you get to the pathology, which is what the doctor will diagnose you with, right? I can look at those numbers and see like, oh, there's some, you know, patterns going on here of nutrient deficiencies. So we got to get those up. We got to get your digestion working, because a huge part of why you have nutritional deficiencies is that your digestion is not working properly, you know? So those foundationals are definitely key. And then getting people up and then, you know, looking at tests, hopefully 3-4 months down the road, seeing where things are at and then pulling off of those and maintaining with just some basic supplements. But, you know, you got to do the food thing. Supplements are not going to help if you don't do the food thing. They're not going to help if you don't de-stress. Like you lifestyle factors are huge. And I mentioned this to you guys before we got started. You know, one of the keys that I learned from my fibroid journey was like, I was very bad at setting my boundaries and sticking to them. I was good at saying I had boundaries, but I wasn't really sticking to them, especially as a woman who owns her own business. You can just go into, you know, people are always going to need something from
saying
you.
No. Saying yeah. No is the biggest thing I've had to learn in my
it's
life.
It's huge.
I'm terrible with it. Terrible. Even
want to do it all because that's our nature, yeah. Right? As women, we just want to, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, I can help you. Yeah, let me help you. And then before you know it, you're just like, and yeah. Your adrenals are going crazy trying to produce all this cortisol to like keep up with your stress. And then it's just like,
exactly.
Everything's like haywire.
Absolutely. And I can feel it in my system now. And this is one thing I tell my clients too. Like if you pay attention, your body tells you pretty quickly when you're over the line and your head's going to be like, keep going, keep going. And I'm like, you have to tune into your body because you're going to pay for it later if you don't tune into your body. And I can speak to that, you know,
that whole self-care element too. Like, yep. even if you feel like you don't need it, you're like, oh, I'm good today. Like I don't have any stress today. Still taking that time out to care for yourself, whether it's, you know, doing something nice for yourself or meditation or just quiet, or maybe you like to read a book, color, I don't know. It's like something for yourself that nobody else can take away from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the boundaries for me is that's such a self-care thing. You know, I tell people like it is work to get out of your pattern of always wanting to do for others and overgiving. But like, once you start doing it, I feel so empowered when I choose my body and myself, you know, I really do. And so it's a mindset shift too, you know? And so a lot of times I'm like, oh, I love massages. I love like going to the Salt Cave here in Nashville, all those things. I can't do that all the time. And so having these things in your daily routine, like you're saying, and like the boundaries and sticking to those, that's huge, you know?
Oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
Really getting in our parasympathetic nervous system is just key. We're not in it enough and we need to be in it more. I also see a lot of people with vagus nerve issues. I don't know if you guys have ever talked about that. But you know, it's basically a nerve that runs from your head to your stomach and is the communication between the two. And dysregulation happens a lot around trauma. And so there's really simple things you can do to trigger your vagus nerve, like humming, and gargling. And, you know, I have like a massage. I have like one of those handheld massagers and I just run it on the bottom of my skull at night before I go to bed. And that helps bring down that cortisol, make that melatonin, you know, go up so that I can sleep. And sleep is such a huge, huge thing that so many women are missing out on.
These are such great tips. I feel like our listeners are like writing stuff down, but like, these are like,
I'm trying to write them down as I hear you or go back to, because you know, we're so busy. I'm like, okay, am I going to go back and listen to the podcast? I'm going to just write notes.
Yeah. Write down now. Yeah.
Like, these are probably things that you tell your patients that, you know, hire you on as a coach, but here you are like sharing your tips and tricks.
Yeah. And honestly, if you follow me on Instagram, and I'm at Christine Garvin on Instagram, I put stuff like this on there all the time because I can't help everybody. And I, you know, that way the more stuff is going out to more people and the foundations, I actually just wrote about this today. foundations are key before you do anything else, you know? And so that sleep, that water, that rest, that eating good food, I mean, you know, that can do so much. And I think a lot of times we don't know, like I see clients coming to me and they don't know how off they are on those things until I'm able to kind of point that out to them, you know? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I want, before we go any further, I want people to be able to sort of be also looking on your website while we're talking, because mm-hmm. you have an amazing blog. You have things that have been published out there in magazines and articles and things like that. Can you tell us your website and sort of how you're actually a coach? I mean, people can, mm-hmm. you know, ask you for help for their whatever's going on with them. Can you mm-hmm. tell us your website and what all's on there for, the,
yeah.
for our listeners?
It's just ChristineGarvin.com. That's GARVIN. And yeah, basically you can get on there and you can see, you know, I do one-on-one work with people. And, you know, that's usually either the gut path or the hormone path, though they will intersect sometimes. And then I also do some group programs. Like I have a detoxification support program coming up. And when I talk about detox, I'm not talking about like, oh, you just have these toxins. And like, you know, we're talking about real support for your liver and your kidneys. And, you know, kind of giving things a break, but getting the nutrients that you need for them to do, because like, I didn't quite go into the liver, but the liver needs a lot of nutrients for both its phase 1 and phase 2 detox. And if I would say anything that was the most important probably around my fibroid was some liver issues going on.
Oh yeah.
And liver issues can be going on way before they show up on lab tests. And just because our liver has to deal with so much, right? It has to deal with everything that we ingest. It has to do with all the, you know, you walk out into pollution, it's got to deal with that. It's got to deal with the chemicals that are in our plastics, and, you know, I could go on and on. And so, it also, you know, from a Chinese medicine perspective, it also is the place where we store anger. A lot of women, we push down that anger. And so it can really, you know, impact the liver function too. And so just doing some really good liver support is one of the things that I encourage clients, you know, simple things like adding lemon to warm water first thing in the morning. You know, as long as you don't have reflux, it can be not good for you if you have reflux, but that's super hydrating, and lemon is super supportive for your liver. You know, bitter greens are super supportive for your liver. Beets are fantastic. I like to do frozen beets, throw them into a smoothie because it makes it nice and thick. Yeah. And you can get some good beets in there. That's going to help your gallbladder and your liver. It's going to help the bile to, you know, not be so solid and to kind of move through. And just giving your liver lots of love and support. Castor oil packs are very great for supporting your liver too. Because it's working hard and it's got to detoxify all those hormones, as I mentioned earlier, along with everything else. And so you want to support it as awesome. Much as you can.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, Tara asked kind of where, tell us again, where everyone can find you, mm-hmm. Your Instagram, your Facebook pages, your all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. Yeah. So Instagram is just at Christine Garvin. I don't have a Facebook page anymore. You can friend me if you want to on Facebook, but I don't have a business page on there. I let go of my dance one and decided not to start another one.
Probably
for my own
good
stuff.
Part of self-care. One more pretty much. Media I was thing. Like, I have to be running.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I do post to Instagram, you know, quite a bit. Also my newsletter, if you go to my website and sign up for my newsletter, I send a lot of good tidbits out there. And also you'll get discounts on, you know, programs and different things coming up. I do giveaways and stuff there too. And I definitely plan, you know, hopefully, it'll probably be early fall. I'm going to do a hormone program too for people that aren't able to work with me one-on-one and really teach all the stuff. Cause I'm like you guys, I really want to empower, you know, people to be able to take their health into their own hands, and not just for right now, but like, you're going to know what to do as time, you know, goes on, especially for cycling women. Our bodies change so much, you know, and then going into menopause, it changes so much. So really being empowered around that.
Let us know when that comes out and we'll definitely share it with our listeners, because I'm sure we'll get lots of asks around that.
Nice. I will definitely share it with you guys. Yeah.
Oh, well, man, this has been so helpful. We haven't had anyone talk about sort of that triad in terms of like gut health and adrenal. I mean, we could probably do an entire other podcast surrounding
entire series on it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, functional medicine in general. I mean, there's just so much information, and I know people are thinking in their heads like, that could be that's me, like, mm-hmm. I need, you know, mm-hmm. so just getting more, just the more we can get the word out there, I feel like the better the world is going to be a better place if we can just get
absolutely.
People to ask questions and talk about their health. And if they notice something's wrong, if they feel something funky, figure it, like, don't shy away from that. Christine's the perfect example of advocating for yourself. So
absolutely.
We really appreciate you being here. Honestly, Christine, you've been.
It was great. I loved it. So much fun. Yeah. I'm like, I could talk about this stuff all day.
I know. That's how, that's we got. And also Christine has a podcast called Hormonal
Speaking. Mm-hmm.
So do you want to tell them, are you on like the major podcast channels, or how do we find yours?
Yep. iTunes, Spotify, all of those. And it's nearly weekly episodes, not every week, but most weeks. I'm on there.
Karen and I manage our once a month, and I'm like, we're speaking to that. We're holding to our no more.
There you go. It's no joke sometimes, but I love doing the interviews. It's, you know, just all the extra work that can be tough sometimes, but I love doing that podcast because both of you, as I mentioned earlier, have been guests on it. I've had such amazing guests, and people can get so much information about hormones and gut health. We talk about that a lot on there too, that I feel like you can't get anywhere else. So come listen, Hormonally Speaking.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you again so much. And we just thank all of our listeners too for being here. I know you have greater things to do in life, and hopefully this isn't adding to your stress, but this is taking away, or part of your self-care regimen is just, you know, listening to some ladies talk about hormones. But we do thank our listeners for your support, your continued support, as we're now in season 2 and going strong, and happy to bring you the information. We always, any questions you might have, if we don't know the answers, we will find somebody that does. We will point you in the right direction of a resource. So know that we're here to help you advocate for your health and encourage you to empower yourself and each other to talk about any of your conditions or just chat. So we thank you, Christine, again. It was an honor.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Heather, anything I'm missing?
We'll see you next month, and we look forward to continuing listening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Christine.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Just Ask podcast. And thank you for our amazing panelists today and every day. Feel free to contact us publicly or privately with your questions and thoughts. We do not provide medical advice, but we can point you in the right direction and provide resources. You can learn more about the topics we've discussed in this episode by viewing the show notes for this podcast and following us at Just Ask ATL on Facebook and Instagram. Our podcast is available on all of your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. Please make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. If you found value in this discussion, please share this podcast with friends or leave a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening. We can't wait for you to join us for the next show.